All right, everybody, a quick heads up, and then we'll get right to it. Today is Destination Health. I'm going to continue on with the NTP series I've been doing, so we may not get to any calls in the first hour. That's kind of been the pattern. And then in the second hour, we will do all calls, health questions, general questions, whatever you've got. So you can start lining up your questions anytime you want. Question, comment, topic, anything you want to talk about, press 1 on your phone. Bridget will get to your call and get it screened, and I will get to those either late in the first hour or into the second. We'll see how that goes. Here we go. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. This is Destination Health. This is the show that's all about you, your health, your fitness, your diet, your lifestyle, training, whatever it might be. We tackle all those issues here on this show, and we answer your questions as well. And of course, we wrap it around that trucking lifestyle, trying to stay fit and healthy on the road, living in a truck. We know what a challenge that is, but with a little bit of information, a little bit of planning, and of course, as always, doing the hard work, it's not as difficult as most people think it is. In fact, the more we talk about this, the more people who get involved, the more we see that in some ways it's easier to eat this way on the road as long as you plan. So that's a big part of what we'll help you do here on the show, answer your questions about all of those things and more. Tonight, I am continuing my series on the NTP process. For those of you new to the show, NTP is Nutritional Therapy Practitioner, something I am about a month away from becoming certified in. I've been working on it for over a year now. The idea behind the NTA, the Nutritional Therapy Association, is that everything we need to be healthy and fit is found in food. We really don't need medicine, except in the most extreme cases, that we can be very fit and very healthy if we eat the right foods. Many of the problems come from the fact that we've been told to eat the wrong foods, and we eat the wrong foods, maybe for the right reasons, but I think we're finding that it's just not worth it. We eat a lot of food for convenience, and it's killing us. And today's episode is probably one of the best examples of that. Today we're going to talk about why fat is good for us, even though we've been told over and over and over, it's been pounded into our head. If you're my age or younger, I just turned 53 this week. You've virtually been told this all your life. The low-fat revolution kind of started in the 50s, really got crazy in the 70s and 80s, and it's killing us. And it's pretty evident. All you have to do is look around. We have a lot of very, very unhealthy people, even more so in our industry. And it's because we were told that fat was bad for us, and then we started eating a lot of processed food. The low-fat revolution killed people, lots of people. The good news is it's finally starting to turn around. In the last year and a half that I've been talking about this, I see more and more articles, even in the mainstream media, finally catching on to the fact that if if we formulate our diet properly and we eat the right fats, that fat is really good for us in a lot of ways. And I'm going to explain those ways today and talk a lot about what's going on. So there are three classes of nutrients that we eat. Proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Of those three, two of them are absolutely essential to life. If you don't eat two of those three, you will die. Those are protein and fat. Maybe I should say fat and protein because that's the order we should be eating them in. The one group of nutrients that is not essential to life at all is carbohydrates. It is possible to live with zero carbohydrates. It's kind of hard to eat and not get carbohydrates, but we don't need them at all. If you look at a natural diet, the way we evolved as a species, carbohydrates really aren't available in nature except in very small amounts and at certain times of the year, whereas fat and protein was available all the time. And it was our primary diet. So that's where some of the problem started, was our processed foods are primarily carbohydrates and bad fats. We're going to talk about what fats are good and what fats are bad. Before we get started, I do want to tell you that fats are essential to our diet. They can make us much healthier than most people are today, but we also need to be careful. You don't want to load up on bad fats, and you don't want to load up on fats and keep your carbohydrate count high. Now, it's not all that easy to do, but in today's world, it's certainly possible. So when you go to a high-fat diet, you want to make sure it's also a low carbohydrate diet, not both together. Both together will cause your problems to get worse. So as you increase fat, you need to decrease carbohydrates. We're going to talk about good ratios, protein and carbohydrates today as well. There's a story behind how we ended up doing the whole low-fat thing and how we came to believe that fat and cholesterol in our diet caused heart disease. And the problem is there was no scientific evidence for it at all, and there still isn't. There never has been. There never will be. Because fat and cholesterol do not cause heart disease. The story is pretty interesting, but it's long, so I don't want to take time today to tell it to you. I did recommend several books on this topic, and almost every book I've read on the topic of why fat is good for us tells the story. Some tell it in a lot of detail. Some kind of give you the short version. It's interesting, though. It goes back to the 1950s. It's also interesting to know that prior to 1920, heart attacks were virtually unheard of. There are heart surgeons that were practicing in the 20s and then still practicing in the 40s and 50s. And they wrote many reports about how prior to 1920, there were no heart attacks, zero. They didn't even really know what it was. They had never treated one. And yet by the 50s, primarily middle-aged men were dying every day. And they still are. So are women now. So heart disease is a real problem. But fat and cholesterol did not cause it. It's an interesting story. So if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see my book recommendation for this week. It's by Nina Techholtz, The Big Fat Lie. And if you are familiar with Goodreads, goodreads.com, you can look me up on there. And I created a bookshelf that I believe has about six books on this topic that are all excellent. Almost all of them are available in audio, so you can listen to them while you drive. So let's get down to it. Why do we need fats and cholesterol in our diet? Cholesterol is not a bad thing, not at all. It is a really good thing. So are fats. Let's talk about a couple reasons. One, let's talk about our brain. So our brain makes up about 2% of our body weight, but 25% of our cholesterol is in our brain. Without cholesterol, our brain does not function well at all. There is a tremendous amount of evidence that shows the higher your cholesterol numbers, the longer you live. The higher your cholesterol numbers, the less chance you have of ending up with dementia and Alzheimer's. There's an absolute link. Alzheimer's is directly tied now to a high sugar consumption, high carbohydrate diet. And the reason is that most people eating a lot of sugar and a lot of carbohydrate are not eating enough fat. And sugar is very damaging to the brain, so much so that they are now calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes. What are some of the other reasons we need fat in our diet? This is a big one. We know that nutrition keeps us healthy. I mean, we should have known this all along, but somehow we got distracted from this. We need vitamins and minerals. Clearly, that's what our body runs on. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why, even though there may not be vitamins or minerals in fat, why they're so important to vitamins and minerals. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. This is our series on NTP, all about nutritional therapy. This is part five, why fats are good for us. And I'm covering all kinds of reasons why fats are good for us. Before the break, I was talking about vitamins and minerals. Some of our most important vitamins are what are called fat-soluble vitamins, and they happen to be vitamin A, D, E, and K. Those vitamins are absolutely essential to a lot of functions in our body. One of those is creating hormones which control almost everything in our body. The only way we can absorb and use vitamins A, D, E, and K is in the presence of fat. When you are on a low-fat diet, you can eat all of the foods with all of these vitamins you want. You are not going to be able to absorb them. Most of these vitamins, all four of these, are much better found in animal foods, not plant foods. We always hear about vitamin A in carrots and orange vegetables. And there is, well, technically there isn't any vitamin A in those vegetables. There's beta carotene, which our body has to convert to vitamin A, and our body is not very good at it. So when vitamin A is essential to a lot of things, getting much of it in our diet, what we do get in our diet is not easily converted because it's beta carotene, not vitamin A, And if we're eating a low-fat, high-sugar diet, the little bit that we are getting is not being absorbed by our body. So we're very deficient in these vitamins. You need to be eating animal products to get these nutrients, and more than likely you need to be eating the animal products to be getting the proper fats to process those fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K. The next role of fat in our body is energy. We have shifted our body from its natural state where it burns primarily fat for energy, and we have converted it to burning sugar and glucose for energy. Carbohydrates, sugar, glucose, they're all the same thing. Our body will burn those sources of energy when they are available because they do burn easier. You know, the best analogy is taking a bunch of dried leaves, which is where a lot of our carbohydrates come from, plant material, and taking a bunch of plant material, it lights really easy, and it burns really hot and really fast. And if you want to keep that fire going, you have to keep piling on more and more of that plant material. On the other hand, if you were to try to burn fat, just a bucket of lard, it doesn't light easily. You've got to get it burning, but once you get it burning, it burns hot and it burns steady and it burns long, and you don't have to keep adding more and more. It's a much better source of energy. That's exactly what happens in our body. You eat sugar or carbohydrates, you get a surge of energy, and then you get a drop. And then you have to eat again, and then you get a surge of energy, and you get a drop. And we see this. We get up in the morning, you eat a bunch of carbohydrates, because that's our typical breakfast now, bagels and muffins and donuts and cereal and yogurt and fruit, all of those things very, very high in sugar. And a couple hours later, you're crashing, and you have to go eat it again. And when you're in that cycle, your body will crave those sugars and carbohydrates. And it's killing us. It's what causes insulin to spike. It's what eventually leads to insulin resistance and diabetes and heart disease and so many other diseases. Whereas if we eat good quality fats, and I'm going to talk about what that means, we have long burning energy. It satisfies our appetite. We don't need to eat all the time, and we get lots and lots of benefits from it. So energy is a great reason to eat fat. A couple other ones, build cell membranes. Every cell in our body needs fat and cholesterol in order to be healthy, every cell. Fat protects our organs. We need that fat to protect our organs. In order for our body to properly use protein, which is the other essential nutrient, we have to eat it in our diet. Remember, carbohydrates, we don't. In order for our body to use protein properly, we have to have fat. They work together. And then one of my favorites, well, let me save my favorite reason why we eat fat till last. Here's a couple more. When we eat fat with a meal, a lot of fat, a little bit of protein, a little bit of carbohydrate, the fat also slows down the absorption of our food, so we get less of an insulin spike, even if there is some carbohydrate in the meal. And that's a good thing. We want our blood sugar to stay steady, and fat helps do that. It slows down the absorption, so it minimizes any blood sugar spikes we might have. If we're eating primarily fat and a little bit of protein, we won't have blood sugar spikes anyway. Fat makes us feel full and controls our appetite. It goes back to that long-burning source of energy rather than that quick, hot source of energy from carbohydrates and sugar that we have to keep replenishing. But my number one reason why fat is so good in our diet? Because it makes food taste good. There's a reason for that. Our body craves fat. We love fat. We've just been told to hate it. We've been told to be afraid of it, and we shouldn't hate it, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should enjoy it in all of its good forms. And if you notice, I keep stressing that, good fats. I'm going to talk about what those are. But food fat makes our food taste good. It makes our food feel good in our mouth. You know, isn't it exciting to know that the stuff we thought was bad for us and we used to feel guilty about eating isn't bad for us? We can eat it and not feel guilty. And most of the stuff that they told us was healthy tasted like cardboard and grass clippings, and it wasn't healthy. And we can see the results. All you have to do is look around. There's so much evidence of this now today. So that's why fat's important to us. That's all the things that fat does in our body. Let's talk about how much fat we should have, what ratio of fat, protein, carbohydrate is healthy, and still lots more to go today. We will get to good fat really means, but let's talk about how much first. Let's assume for right now that the standard advice of an adult male consuming about 2,500 calories a day and an adult female consuming about 2,000 calories a day. Not necessarily true, but let's use it as a starting point. We want to break down our macronutrients, which are fat, protein, and carbohydrates, by a percentage of calories. So for a woman, if she were going to eat 2,000 calories a day, a breakdown of how much fat should be somewhere between 40 and 80% of calories. Now let's talk about why that range is so big. For a healthy human being that doesn't have any insulin resistance at all, and there are very few adults left like that anymore. In fact, we're not even seeing many children left like that anymore. We've all damaged our metabolism by eating a high sugar, high carbohydrate diet our whole life. The longer we've done that, the more likely we have damage to our blood sugar control systems, the higher the percentage of fat we're going to need. But if somebody grew up on a good diet, high in fat, low in carbohydrates, could probably do that 40% fat, 40% carbohydrate, 20% protein. But they would want their carbohydrates to be really healthy. And healthy carbohydrates, it's hard to get 40% of your calories from them because they're primarily vegetables. So what about the other extreme, the 80%? That's a lot. So what tends to happen is if you try to eat 80% of your calories from fat, you're probably not going to come anywhere near 2,000 calories a day. You will be full long before that, which is why people on very high-fat diets lose weight. One of the reasons. Lots more to come today. Stick around. We'll be right back after this. I'm Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. We're the NTP process. This is the series on nutritional therapy, eating to be healthy, not taking medicine to be healthy. We go back to the saying, let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food. And all our body really needs to be healthy is good quality food. And that's what we're talking about today. And we're talking about specifically about fat today and why fat is so important in our diet. And I'm going to get back to that. I was talking about the breakdown of fat, protein, carbohydrate in that order. And we want to focus on fat first. We want to decide for each individual, it could be different. We want to decide how much fat we're going to eat. What percentage of our calories each day should come from fat? Now, I'm not really big on counting stuff. It's too much work. I want to enjoy my food. I want to enjoy my life. I don't want to have to sit around and count calories. The good news is when you build your meals primarily around good fats, there's that word again, good fats, you won't have to count calories. Your body will tell you, hey, look, I'm full. If you're eating good fats and whole, real food, nutrient dense, your body's getting everything it needs. See, we eat so much because biologically there's only one reason we eat, and it's not because we're hungry. We're hungry because our body is telling us we need nutrition. And if you don't give your body the nutrition it needs, then it's going to stay hungry. So if we're eating empty, processed junk food and a lot of sugar and carbohydrates, not only are we hungry because our blood sugar keeps spiking and dropping, but we're also hungry because we're not getting the nutrition we need. And our body is screaming at us to get it. If you are eating fat, good fat, and nutrient-dense food, you'll find that you eat a lot less. And you won't have to worry about counting calories, and you'll lose weight, and you won't be hungry, and you'll be very satisfied. So that 80% of calories from fat, that's pretty high up on the scale there. But that is what's considered a ketogenic diet. So when you get up to that 70 to 80% fat, 10 to 15% protein, and the rest in good non-starchy carbohydrates like leafy green vegetables, that's ketogenic. Your body will become a fat-burning machine. You will lose weight. You will be loaded with energy. Your mood will get better. Your sleep will get better. It is amazing how many things will go away. Arthritis, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, heart disease, cholesterol numbers improve as long as you know how to read cholesterol numbers properly. Many, many autoimmune diseases. One of the things that happens when you try to eat like this, you have to eliminate grains. There's just no way around it. And grains are part of what's causing all the problems. So mostly fat, little bit of protein, very, very low carbohydrate. That's a good balance of the way to eat. Now let's talk about what good fats are. Not only were we told that low fat most of our life, we were told to eat the wrong fats. We were eating trans fats. We were told margarine instead of butter. We were told Crisco instead of lard. That was a mistake, and it killed people, and it's still killing people. And that is not an exaggeration. It is absolutely scientifically proven. We need to go back to real fats, not trans fats, not manufactured fats, not vegetable oils. Vegetable oils are horrible for us. They are heavily processed and rancid and damaged, and they damage our body. What we want are good, healthy animal fats. Now, they're not easy to find, but they are getting easier all the time. So what I'm talking about is any fat from any animal that was raised on its natural diet or as close to that as possible. So tallow, which is beef fat or lamb fat from cows or sheep that were raised on grass, raised and finished on grass in a pasture out in the wide open spaces and the sunshine, not in a feedlot confined with a bunch of other animals shot up with hormones and antibiotics and fed cheap grains and all kinds of other garbage. We do not want to eat the fats from those animals. Beef tallow is such a good fat to cook with. It doesn't damage as easy because it is a saturated, stable fat. Many of you my age, and I'm not saying this was good food, it wasn't, but many of you my age remember how good fast food French fries used to be. When you were a kid, McDonald's French fries were so good. It's because they were cooked in beef tallow. But we were told that that was bad for us. Frying foods at high temperatures is bad for us, and potatoes aren't good for us either. But at least the fat was better back then. Then we switched to trans fats. Now we find out that trans fats were killing us, and instead the fast food restaurants have switched to seed oils, which are just as bad, maybe even worse in some ways, when all along we had it right in the beginning. Beef tallow from grass-fed cows or sheep, that's what we should be cooking in. But any animal's fat, chicken fat, if it's a pastured chicken, duck fat, if it's a pastured duck, pork lard. Oh, pork lard is so good to cook in and cook with and use. If it's a pastured, healthy animal raised the way it was supposed to be raised, those are all good fats. Animal products, eggs, high in fat, high in cholesterol, very, very nutritious. What other kind of fats should you be eating? Those should be the primary fats that you're cooking in. And when you eat protein, animal products, which you should be, you don't want to seek out the expensive lean cuts of muscle meat, like the filet, you know, is supposed to be the best part of the cow. It's lean. It has very little fat. Way too much protein and not much nutrition. You want the fattier cuts, the short ribs, the fatty roasts. We don't want to trim the fat off a steak if we're going to eat it. Again, remember, we should primarily be eating grass-fed animals. Now, I realize that's not entirely practical. It's not always possible, but it's what we should strive for to do as often as we can. If we eat chicken, you should be eating the skin, which is my favorite part. You should be eating the thighs, the dark, fatty meat. Give the chicken breast to your dog. It's too lean. Too much protein. Dogs do really well with a lot of protein. People do well with a higher fat content. So eat the fattier cuts. Eat the skin. Cook your meats lightly. The less you cook food, the healthier it is. I eat raw beef. I don't eat raw chicken because that's not good for one thing. But I do eat raw beef. I eat raw fish. What else do I eat raw? Raw eggs, raw milk, raw cheese, not pasteurized, not processed, raw. I love raw beef. Beef tartare, steak tartare, amazing. So eat fatty animal cuts, cook in good quality animal fats. The next really good fat, and it's a very unique fat in a lot of ways, is, well, you're going to have to wait to hear this one. I'm going to get to a break, and I'll come back right after this, and I'll tell you the other healthy fats. And if I have time, I'm going to cover one other topic around fats, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio, and why it's so important, and how to get more of what you need. Stick around. We'll be right back with that. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. I'm going to get right back to it because I'm running out of time. So my next favorite fat, virgin coconut oil. Virgin coconut oil is a very unique fat. It's very good for us in so many ways. I could almost do an entire hour on coconut oil. It has what's called MCTs, medium chain triglycerides. Triglyceride is just kind of another word for fat. It has medium chain fats. All of our animal fats have long chain fats. They're a little harder for our body to digest. It takes more energy, more work. There are some foods, very, very limited foods, that have medium chain and even short chain triglycerides, which are very healthy in their own way. Coconut oil, our body converts to energy very quickly and easily. It doesn't have to work hard to digest it. Coconut oil is also an antibacterial, antifungal, antimicrobial. It's good for your skin. It's good for all kinds of stuff. And if you like the taste of coconut, I love the taste of coconut oil. You've heard me, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, talk about bulletproof coffee. And it's a way to get your fat in the morning as your energy source without your body having to work very hard to digest it. It's almost like fasting, and fasting is good for us. So that leads me to the next good fat, which is grass-fed butter. My God, who doesn't like butter? And now we know we can eat it. We know it's good for us. So bulletproof coffee, if you haven't heard me talk about it, it's black coffee with coconut oil, virgin coconut oil, and butter. The amount is up to you. I like almost 2 tablespoons of each in a 10 or 12 ounce cup of coffee blended in. I put a little bit of raw chocolate in mine and a little bit of cinnamon, and it is amazing. It controls your appetite for hours, gives you tons of energy. Butter has short chain triglycerides, which are really good for our gut. Bacteria creates a lot of nutrients out of those short chain triglycerides. So butter and coconut oil are great. That's why they work so well in bulletproof coffee. Some other oils that are good, palm oil, avocados and avocado oil, really good. Olive oil is good, but you don't want to use it to cook. You don't want to heat up olive oil. You want to eat it cold, and it shouldn't be a huge part of your diet. It should be a smaller part of your diet. Some foods, nuts and seeds, are really high in good fats. Like I said earlier, fatty cuts of meat, eggs, those are excellent sources of good fats. In the beginning, it seems like it's hard to find ways to get enough fat in your diet. The more you do it, the more you'll start to enjoy it. Let's talk about 2 other groups of fats, omega-6 and omega-3. These are considered essential fatty acids. When you hear the word essential when it comes to diet, It means that you have to get that nutrient in the food you eat because your body can't make it. Like, there are essential amino acids. We have to eat them. There are other amino acids that our body can produce from other food. Omega-6 fats and omega-3 fats are essential. Our body can't make them. We have to eat them. In a perfect world, in our natural diet, when we were hunters and gatherers, before we started farming, the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 in our body was about 1 to 1, depending if you live near the ocean, it was 1 to 1. If you lived more inland, it was probably 4 to 1. People who lived near the ocean were healthier and lived longer. And they believe it's because they had a much better omega-6 to omega-3 ratio, 1 to 1. 4 to 1 is still very, very healthy, because in today's standard American diet, the ratio has gotten so skewed that it is about 25 to 1 omega-6 to omega-3. We're getting way too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3. It's not that we have to have a lot of either one of these. We really don't. We just need the right ratio. The problem is all processed food is extremely high in omega-6. It's all the cheapest oils that's used in processed food. Fast food is crazy high in omega-6, and processed and fast food have virtually no omega-3. Traditionally, conventionally raised animals, raised in feedlots, raised on grain, fattened up with antibiotics and all the other junk, is very, very high in omega-6 and almost completely devoid of omega-3. Farm-raised fish is poor in omega-3. So our diet has become taken over by omega-6. Here's why that's a problem. Omega-6 is the pro-inflammatory fat. It creates inflammation in our body. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. We need inflammation. Inflammation fixes and repairs things in our body. Omega-3 is the anti-inflammatory fat. And when we have a good balance, if we get damage of some kind in our body, an injury, whatever it may be, the omega-6 ramps up the inflammation process and heals the wound, whatever type of wound it may be, which is what heart disease is, by the way, inflammation. Almost every disease we have is grounded in inflammation. So once the omega-6 ramps up inflammation and fixes things, then the omega-3 should kick in and bring the inflammation back down. Inflammation is good. We need it, but we can't have it all the time or it kills us. When our balance of omega-6 to omega-3 is 25 to 1, we are inflamed all the time. It's why we have heart disease. It's why we have arthritis. It's why we have Crohn's. It's why we have so many diseases. I could go on and on and on. They're all inflammation, because our fatty acids are way out of balance. So in order to fix that balance, you need to get rid of the processed foods. You need to get rid of the vegetable oils. You need to eliminate or minimize as much as possible fast food. You need to try to minimize conventionally raised animals and seek out pasture-raised animals. And in order that all of those things will help bring your omega-6 down, and then we've got to get our omega-3 up. And the easiest way to do that, the best source of omega-3 is anything that came out of the ocean. Fish, and fatty fish primarily. The fattier the fish, like salmon, not farm-raised salmon, but wild-caught salmon, is high in omega-3. Sardines are high in omega-3. Anchovies are high in omega-3. Fish eggs, caviar, roe, all of those things are high in omega-3. fish livers, cod liver oil, the stuff we all throw away and won't eat, high in omega-3s. Shellfish are all excellent sources of good cholesterol and omega-3s. You've got to get that balance back. Now, I'm running out of time today, so I'm not going to have a lot of time to cover this, but I covered it in a prior series. I believe it was part 3 and 3.5, and it was all about digestion. The problem for most of us is we've been living a low-fat diet for too long and eating bad fats for so long that our body is no longer able to digest fats properly. If you've lost your gallbladder, you're not able to digest fats properly. If you haven't been getting those fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K that I talked about, your body doesn't have the building blocks to create all of the things it needs to digest fats properly. So it's a vicious circle. Again, I don't have a lot of time today. Go back and listen to part 3 and 3.5, and I cover how to fix that digestive problem. And I've experienced this in the last couple of months. I was eating a high-fat diet, good quality fats, and I was still fatty acid deficient. You can test for it. And it was because I wasn't able to digest those fats properly. I've almost completely got that fixed in about a month. It doesn't take that long, and the results have been amazing. So call me and ask me about it. Go back and listen to those other episodes. But most importantly, start eating good quality fats. I'm all out of time. Thanks for joining me. Next time, we'll get to your calls and questions on the next episode of Destination Health. We'll see you then. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always eat your good fats and master the journey. It's Kevin Rutherford. All right, here we go. We're going to do another hour, and we're going to go right to your questions.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. You can also find us on Facebook. This is Destination Health Tonight, by the way. And if you're interested in this show and this topic, you can find more information on Facebook. Look for Destination Health on the Audio Road Network. That's our group. There's also a page, Destination Health, but the group actually works better. I'm able to post more information there. So if you're on Facebook, look us up. It's Destination Health on the Audio Road Network. And each week I post a book recommendation and some resources. So in the last episode on good fats, I posted a book recommendation. And I also posted a list of foods you should be including in your diet in order to make the high-fat diet work properly. So what we're going to do right now is get to your calls and questions. Let's start off in Florida. James, welcome to the program. James, are you with me? James, it sounds like you're there. Let up and I'll put you on hold, and I'm going to see if we can save that line, and I'm going to head off to New Jersey. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Doing good. What can I help you with today?
Yeah, I had a question regarding my wife. She has gallbladder stones, and she had an attack last year when she was pregnant, and they wanted to remove it, but since she was pregnant, they didn't. They said they can't operate. And but they told us that we should operate and get that removed as soon as she's back on her feet after she gives birth.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, I will tell you the only time I would ever let them take a gallbladder out, and hopefully we can stop it from getting to this point, is when they literally say, if the gallbladder doesn't come out, you're going to die. That's the only time I would let them take it out. You know, our body doesn't really have any spare parts. We need them all. And when the gallbladder goes, health goes with it. Now, for the people who don't have one, there are some ways to make up for that. But it requires supplementation the rest of your life because you have to replace what the gallbladder was there to do. And the gallbladder was there to digest fats. And in my last episode, I talked about why fats are so important, and if we can't digest them, we're never going to be healthy. The reason we're seeing so many gallstones and having so many gallbladders taken out is because of a low-fat diet. When you're not eating fat, your gallbladder stops functioning because it doesn't need to because there's no fat to digest or there's bad fats. And because it's not working and the bile isn't flowing, you form gallstones. And gallstones could eventually kill you. But we want to fix it before it gets to that point. So because they're already talking about surgery and they want her to do it, I don't want to try to just diagnose her and help her over the phone. I want you to find a naturopath or an NTP that believes in saving the gallbladder. If you could get lucky and find a medical doctor who believes that way, a doctor of functional medicine, that would be okay. But somebody in a medical profession, because she's beyond the point that I really want to try helping her just over the phone, somebody needs to save her gallbladder, and it can be done. I can give you some ideas on things she should be eating, some supplements that certainly can't hurt. But I don't want her to think that this will fix it and then find out she has another gallbladder attack and they pressure her to take it out.
Right. Okay, so I guess we'll just we'll have to find a naturopath.
Yeah, a naturopath, an NTP, a doctor of functional medicine, a doctor of Chinese medicine, and I would interview them ahead of time. Explain the situation and say, we want to do everything possible to save the gallbladder. Will you work with us on that? And as long as they get that and they understand it, then I would work with them. Even if that were a medical doctor. If I had a medical doctor who I said, look, I want to save my gallbladder. Do you know how? If they know how and they're willing to do it, that'd be fine. Most of them don't, though. Most of them just say, well, if you have gallstones, you know, we're just going to have to operate and they're going to take the gallbladder out. So you got to do your homework here. If you go, and again, I don't want this to be a substitution for finding a medical professional or an NTP. I just want this to maybe help out in the meantime and while you're going through it. If you go to the Destination Health page on Audio Road on Facebook, I posted a list of foods that are helpful in digesting fats, and they are also very supportive of the gallbladder. They will help thin out the bile and keep it flowing, which will minimize gallstones. But again, I want to be really clear. She is in a point where she could have another attack, and she may have to have that gallbladder removed, and we don't want to get there. So make this a top priority. Hey, Kim Cockerham just joined us. She was very busy getting ready for the CMC, but she decided to keep working hard and come and join us anyway. So, Kim, welcome.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I hated missing that. But, yeah, we're 1 week away from CMC, so we are so excited and and that called for the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. So, the last show I did a, while you were busy working for the CMC, I did a show on why fats are so important in our diet. So you'll have to go back and listen to it because it's recorded.
Yeah, I will. And those are, but yeah, they're out there on our Audio Road Network on the Let's Truck site. So you can go catch the archive, which I will for sure.
Yeah. So, I've talked about this before, but I really like doing the show because I kind of did it from start to finish, why fats are important in our diet, what good fats really are, how to get more good fats in our diet, why omega-3 and omega-6 are important and we have to get them balanced. So I covered all of that, and now we're answering people's questions.
Oh, that's great.
All right. So let's go back and see if we have James in Florida this time. James, are you with us?
Hey, Kevin. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hey there.
Hi there, James.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, my question is this. I just recently started eating beets right out of the grocery store. Is there any side effects to eating beets? Except,
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll pee red.
Oh, and yeah, everything comes out of me red. Yeah, everything.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy.
Red, literally.
So
here's red. Everything comes out pee red. Yeah.
I know. It's kind of scary at first till you figure out what's going on.
Right.
Beets are wonderful. They are loaded with all kinds of nutrition. And one of the ways we know that is because that color is so strong. Color is a really good indicator of nutrition. There are a couple of exceptions to it, but it's good. So the downside to beets for some people, they are very high in carbohydrates. Are you trying to lose weight, or do you think you're somewhat insulin resistant?
I'm trying to lose weight, so the carbohydrates are going to be the Achilles heel on that.
They are, but there's a couple ways around that. There's a way to get even more nutrition out of the beet and less carbohydrate, and that's by fermenting the beet. So have you heard me talk about fermenting vegetables?
Yeah. I'm actually – that's the next step is doing some fermented beans and dill and all that.
Yep.
And
one of the things
the
you
beet,
can
right?
do – No, it's pretty much the same. One of the things you can do is even if you're doing beans or carrots or any other vegetable that you're going to ferment, shave some or grate some beet into it. It adds nice color. It adds nice flavor. You can do like a coleslaw kind of mix with beets. You can do a cabbage mix with beets and ferment them. That cuts down on the carbohydrates because the sugars get fermented. And it releases a lot more nutrients. The other way that I am absolutely hooked on now is beet kvass. And beet kvass
How do you get that? Where do you get beet kvass?
Well, I'll tell you where I found the best one. I love this. Oh, you're going to have to wait till after the break. And then I will come back and tell you how to make your own beet kvass or where I buy mine. I have... especially when I'm traveling, but even when I'm home, this company makes the best beet kvass, so I buy it. It's really good, but it's not hard to make. We'll tell you about both when we get back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. We're going to get right back to the questions. Hey, Kim, before we bring James back on, have you tried beet kvass mm-hmm. yet?
I haven't. I've gone to that Oregon brine thing, and I started to order it. The shipping was kind of expensive at the time bringing it out, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to look at the – I'm not sure if Whole Foods has them, or I've seen recipes. So I'm hoping after the CMC, because there's a lot of things I need to step back and put into place, and that is one of them.
Well, you're in luck. You're going to be here next week, and I have
oh,
about two
right.
cases
oh.
here. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, do I want to do that?
So,
will it have any adverse effects while I'm out here?
No, it really doesn't. It's not
okay.
one of those things that, yeah, it doesn't do anything adverse other than everything comes out of you. And you know what? I'm finding for some reason the beet kvass doesn't do that the way eating beets does. Even though the color is deep, deep, deep purple. I don't notice that the way I do when I eat a lot of beets, but I have two kinds. I have the deep purple, just beets with some salt, which is, it's amazing. It tastes so good. And then I have what they call a ginger gold kvass, which is the golden beets with carrot and ginger. And it's really good too. So,
are those both from Oregon?
They are. Yeah, they're both from Oregon Brine Works. And I've tried a couple other companies, and they're okay. But Oregon Brine Works, the flavor is just so good. I mean, when you first drink it, it seems a little weird. And I think it kind of seems weird because it's like a flavor explosion. I mean, it is almost like overwhelming. It has so much flavor. But then after a while, so in the beginning, I would just sip it. And after a while, I started noticing that I was, like, drinking it. Like, you know, I forget how many, an 8-ounce bottle maybe. I drink a bottle a day. Usually, you know, two or three big swallows in the morning right when I wake up. It's very alkalizing for your body, which is a good thing in the morning. It's considered a blood tonic. It's great for your gallbladder. And then later on in the day when I think about it, I'll take two or three more big swigs out of it and then a couple more at night and the bottle's gone. And any more, I crave it.
I look forward to trying it. Thanks much.
Yeah. So, James, you can make your own. It's actually pretty simple.
Yeah.
You would take a beet, you would cube it into like 1-inch cubes. You don't want to grate it because it exposes too much of the sugar and it will actually ferment to alcohol. But if you cube it, like 1-inch cubes, put it in a mason jar, a glass mason jar with a wide mouth, and pour in that same brine we used to ferment, which is a quart of water, 2 tablespoons of good sea salt. Let it sit out on the counter for a week if you want, anywhere from about 4 days to 2 weeks. The longer you leave it, the stronger it's going to get, and the more probiotics it's going to create, the more nutrients it's going to release. And then you strain the beets out. Now, you could eat those. Nothing wrong with eating them. But what's left, the liquid that's left, is the beet kvass. And drinking that is amazing. Or you can buy it from the company that I was just talking about, which is Oregon Brine Works. So you can go to OregonBrineWorks.com. Kim is right. The shipping is a little expensive because it's heavy. They are starting to get a lot of distribution. If you're out in the Pacific Northwest, they're out of Hood River, Oregon. You can certainly get it up there. And I am starting to see other companies. I'm here in Council Bluffs, Kim, and there's a company, I believe they're out of Michigan somewhere, and they have some of their fermented products in the Whole Foods here and the Trader Joe's. I bought theirs. I didn't like the taste of theirs as much. I don't think they fermented it long enough. It tasted a little closer to raw beet to me and didn't have like that bite that I like.
I'm gonna have to try it.
Kim, are you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Uh-oh. I wonder what happened to Kim.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to head off to, where are we heading to this time? We are going to Tennessee. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing? I'm Kim.
Oh, hey, Dave. We're pretty soon.
Maybe it's me then.
I can hear Kim.
Not
I don't know if you can or not.
Kim. Maybe it's me. I'm not sure why. It looks like everybody should be hearing me, but nobody seems to be answering me. Let's,
I can hear you.
Let's go back.
I know.
And,
I just sent him a text.
All right, so it's me. I'm not hearing people for some reason.
It
sounds
is.
Like they're hearing me. I'm just not hearing them. Which makes it a little difficult to do a talk show if I can't hear anybody to talk to. So, yeah, Kim just confirmed. Everybody's hearing me. I'm not hearing anybody else, but that's not making any sense.
Let me talk to Kim.
I will just finish this up myself until I figure out why you're not hearing me. So, back to the issue of beets and why we would eat them. I said they're very high in nutrition, and this goes very well. Oh, wait a minute. I think I'm hearing somebody now. Kim?
Hello?
You got us?
Oh, I've got Dave, too. All right, there we go.
Hey!
Okay.
All right. Hey. Kim and I were talking to each other while you were not here.
All right. Yeah, you're here. I don't have to talk to myself anymore. What can we help you with?
Great. Well, I got as you know, I went to see my NTP, and I went and had some blood work done to get my numbers, and I got them, and I want to share them with you.
Yeah,
my cholesterol
excellent.
Numbers.
What are they? Yeah.
Well, I didn't see a big difference in my cholesterol numbers, but I will tell you, I haven't taken a statin since August, since I started eating keto.
Excellent.
But my total is at 230. Which is down a little bit. My HDL is low, 42. My LDL is 165. Now I'm not concerned with those numbers at all. When I talked to this doctor that drew my blood, and I asked her in the nicest way I did, in a really loving, no tone or nothing in my voice, if she knew about the test for the LDL particles, she says, I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
That makes me crazy.
Well, and me too. And at that point, she stopped listening. I mean, she was done. Almost as if, what the hell do you know? I'm the doctor here. Almost as if, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
So I'm not concerned with those numbers. I am concerned a little that my triglycerides are still kind of high, 129.
So what was your HDL?
HDL is at 42.
So 42, and did you say 129?
129 for the triglycerides.
Okay,
165
so
for the LDL.
Yeah, the LDL we can ignore until we can find out the particle size, which your doctor didn't even know what the hell you were talking about. So set that aside.
Not a clue. I mean, I don't even think she would pick up a book and look it up after I talked to her. I mean, really, closed-minded.
So here's the more important number. HDL by itself doesn't tell us a whole lot. Triglycerides by themselves. What we want to look for is the ratio of HDL to triglycerides. Now, I'm doing it in my head, but you're somewhere around 3. And the range is like 1 to 5. At 5, we get a little worried. 1 is outstanding. I mean, 1 is just virtually perfect. You're at 3, and you've only been doing keto for a short time. That's a good number. I mean, you're not at the danger zone. Triglycerides because you've got good HDL.
I'm thrilled with the numbers.
I also got
A1C.
This morning. Let's get to that in a second. I just listened this morning. I want to stay on cholesterol for a second to a really good podcast that went back over a lot of the research again on cholesterol. And what they found was a total cholesterol over 350 might be dangerous for men from like 30 to 50 years old. Over 350. Anything under 350, they said, was just neutral. Didn't really predict anything.
Yeah.
And for women and men over 50, the higher the cholesterol, the longer you lived.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
What am I doing trying to drop it then?
Well, that's the thing. You know, we like to get our ratios better, but we don't want low cholesterol. Once you get past 50, low cholesterol is a really good sign that you're going to get dementia and Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh. Well, we don't want that.
No. So let's get to a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your A1C. Kim, isn't it crazy? I mean, there's clear evidence that especially for women and as they age, the higher their cholesterol number, the longer they're going to live and the less chance they're going to get dementia or Alzheimer's.
So fascinating. We've been going the opposite way. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, people with low cholesterol die way more often than people with high cholesterol. Let's get to a break. We'll come right back and we'll talk more about this and lots of other stuff. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rappaport. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. My co-host is here, Kim Cockerham, and we are going back to Tennessee to find out about Dave's A1C number. So hit us with it, Dave.
All right. Last August, it was 6.7, which they were a little concerned about, put me on metformin. And I'm still taking that metformin. My A1C is 5.5.
Excellent. You've dropped below the danger zone. So that is outstanding. Now, the interesting thing would be, and again, working with your NTP and a doctor, if you can find one that will work with you on this, is to get off the metformin and see what happens.
Right. I don't want to do that by myself, but I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, the NTP may be able to give you, some guidance on that. She may not. She may refer you to a doctor because, I could tell you what I would do if it were me, but what I would do with my own body is different for what I would recommend, other people.
Right.
Here's the thing. If you were to go off the metformin and wait 90 days and go back and retest your A1C, because A1C is a measure about 90 days out. So if you were to quit, test your own blood sugar multiple times a day so that you would have an immediate – in fact, what I would do if you're not already testing your blood sugar multiple times, I would do it for about 2 weeks while you were on the metformin and track your numbers, then stop the metformin, test your own blood sugar. If you notice some crazy high spike, which I don't think you're going to see with your diet – then you could always go back on. It would be a week at the most, and there would be no damage done. Then wait 90 days to do your A1C. And, diabetes causes problems over a lifetime of high blood sugar. So to do a little bit of body hacking of your own, I think the biggest risk is that you're going to have some slightly elevated blood sugar for a month or two. And honestly, in the long run, that's not a big deal. Low blood sugar is dangerous, but high blood sugar isn't dangerous in the short term. It's only dangerous in the long term.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, I got my supplements from my NTP this week, and I started on them, the one for the adrenal, Cytozyme. Cytozyme.
Yeah. Yep.
And then essential fatty acids. So that's what we're starting to work on first, and I'm really excited to get rolling with the program. I won't see her now till after the CMC, as she's having a baby.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. And she may be listening today. I hope she is. If you are, hello, Jennifer. But,
you know what? And she reached out to us, too. Yeah, she reached out to us, Dave. So we hope to bring her on sometime because it's really cool. You and Herschel, I've really enjoyed seeing you guys be so committed to searching out an NTP, and it seems to be working really well. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. I'm so excited myself.
Aww.
And one other thing I had to mention about the beet kvass. You know, I don't remember a few weeks back I told you I found some beet juice that was fermented. And you said, that's beet kvass. And that thing is sugar sweet, 22 grams in a serving.
See, they may have lactose fermented it just not long enough.
I bought another brand, beet kvass, this Michigan brand, and I can't even drink it. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, you gotta try
the after a sweet.
Oh yeah, try the Oregon Brine Works. That is really, really my favorite. Too sweet, it means they haven't fermented it long enough, and they didn't ferment out enough of the sugars. You know, Kim, I really appreciate Jen reaching out to us, and I want to get her on. The only reason I really haven't is because we've been really busy, obviously, with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, boy, I'd love to have her doing the NTP series with me. I'm sure she could add a tremendous amount. But then I remembered this is actually my community project.
Right.
So I don't want, you know, to say, you know, well, I didn't really do it. I had somebody help me. So I want to do that part on my own, but I want to get her on. I think she'd be a great addition to the show.
Yeah, and you know, hey, Kevin, you mentioned you were directing people to the Facebook page, and I mean, within a heartbeat, we had three people. I want to let everybody know, invite your family to there as well, and Dave reminded me of that, because I believe he invited some of his family that are now on the Facebook page. So you guys, please invite your family to it, and you know, just keep spreading the word.
Oh, what a great idea. Thanks, Dave, for that, because I never think of that because all of our pages are so trucking specific, but this one isn't. This is a great group for your family. So that's outstanding. Kim, I want to give you an update and everybody else as well. You know, I have been grain free for over a year and a half. And I don't cheat. I don't know why it's been so easy for me, but it really has. I'm not tempted to eat bread, pasta, pizza, donuts, none of that stuff, rice. I'm just not tempted. So it's easy for me to do this. I don't feel like I'm even working at it. I know that made amazing changes. I've been ketogenic for over a year. And I feel amazing with that. But as I was going through our NTP workshops, I shared this with you that I found out I was fatty acid deficient, even though I eat 70% fat. And it was all because of digestion. And I didn't get on it right away, just because I fall down sometimes like everybody else. I knew what I should have been doing, and I wasn't. At the time, after the testing, I knew what supplements I needed, and I started those supplements probably a little less than a month ago, maybe about 3 weeks, maybe even a little less than that. And what I'm taking is a hydrochloric acid for better digestion to increase my stomach acid, and a gallbladder support with some pancreatic enzymes and things that support the gallbladder, get the bile flowing better, and also help digest fats along the way. And I combined that with being really mindful of when I eat. Sitting down, relaxing, maybe even meditating for 3 to 5 minutes right before I eat, and not being distracted by other things, and eating slowly and chewing. And the first thing I found was I probably eat about 3/4 of the amount that I used to eat.
I bet.
And I'm very full and very satisfied. And in under 3 weeks, I'm starting to see some pretty amazing results. And the interesting thing was all the other changes I made me feel so good. I've made this statement before. It's absolutely true. At 52, I felt better than I did at 15. In fact, I've never felt that good. So I thought, how could there be anything wrong? I feel so good, but now I feel better. I'm actually seeing new results. One of them is a little surprising. And it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what to make of it yet. You know that I had a horrible problem with sleep. My schedule was a disaster.
Right.
I tried everything. Going grain-free and ketogenic fixed. I thought it fixed it because I could go to bed and go right to sleep and not wake up during the night and feel good when I woke up, and I could sleep just about anywhere. I thought, oh, my sleep is fixed. But there were a lot of nights I was only sleeping 5 hours, and I'd wake up and I'd feel full of energy, so I'd go to work. And I was a little concerned because I'm reading more and more studies about how we really need 8 hours of sleep. So I thought, why am I only sleeping 5 hours? But if that's what's happening, it must be okay. And so I was just going with it. Now, all of a sudden, I'm sleeping 8 hour nights straight through and sleeping so deep. Dreaming like I haven't in a long, long time, really vivid dreams that I remember. And when I wake up, I feel amazing. Sometimes I feel a little guilty because I keep saying I'm going to get up early and get some work done. And the next thing I know, I wake up and it's 7:30 or 8 in the morning. I don't like using alarms. When I get up, I get up. But I'm noticing that my sleep is much deeper and much longer.
That's really great. That's really great. Yeah, and, you know, I do hope, like, after the CMC, I will put some time to this, too. I am just really experiencing myself the effects of stress on your body and not slowing down and so forth. So very cool to see that with you.
Yeah, let's get to a break. We'll come back, and we'll get to some more phone calls. Stick around. We'll be right back with Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim Cockerham is with me. Kim, before we get to another call, I kind of want to go back to that a little bit because, you know, I went back and really started trying to see what that connection might have been, and it became pretty obvious. I'm also doing kind of a gut healing protocol. So I'm taking another supplement called IPS, which is very high in L-glutamine, which is good healing for the gut. I'm making bone broth and drinking it a couple times a week, which is very healing for the gut. And as I fix digestion, I think two things are happening. And sleep is completely controlled by brain chemicals. There are brain chemicals that tell you to stay awake and brain chemicals that tell you to go to sleep. And those brain chemicals come from having the proper vitamins. Vitamin D is a big one for sleep. And vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. If we're not digesting our fats properly, we won't be assimilating and using vitamin D. We won't be building the brain chemicals we need to control all these other things. So I think one thing is I'm absorbing the fat-soluble vitamins better, which is allowing me to build the dopamine and the serotonin and the melatonin and all those other chemicals we need. And when we fix our gut, we tend to improve the gut flora, which is also responsible for building all of those brain chemicals. So I think there's a pretty clear explanation as to why it's working and why I'm sleeping better.
That's really cool. And we are, you're talking so much about fixing the gut and so forth. So yeah, I just, and it's not a quick process, but it's one I think we should all embrace. And I personally need to as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I'm really surprised with the results. Let's head off to North Dakota. Jen, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Jen.
I have a question for you. I've started doing, like, the whole ketogenic diet. My husband does it, and he does really well on it. I, a year ago, did the whole HCG diet. Just to lose weight. And I did. I lost weight rapidly, what it said you were supposed to do. But you also, if you're familiar with it, you take out all the fats. So you eat a very low-fat diet doing that. Well, now trying to do this, I'm struggling.
Yeah. You know, low-fat clearly works because low-fat restricts calories. It's
right.
Not healthy
no.
Because you're all the reasons we need fat, you're not getting them. And it's not very sustainable for most people because it's very hard to be satisfied and full, and you tend to be hungry a lot, and it's very hard to sustain. Women have a more difficult time on the ketogenic diet. We know that. And there's two – well, the biggest reason is hormone imbalance. Women are much more sensitive to a hormone imbalance. So there's two areas we look towards – that we need to fix, which is the thyroid function. So I would recommend getting a thyroid test. And
it comes
the adrenals.
Back normal. I've done
your thyroid is normal? Okay.
Yeah, it comes back within the normal range. I've done the TS4 and the TS3, whatever. I do work with, like, a naturopath. I have a very high estrogen level. And my omegas are very low as well. So I do supplement, like, my omega fatty acid. And I do, like, enzymes and, like, and I figured I do start taking bile salts after listening to you because after doing low fat for so long, I figured my gallbladder probably isn't really friendly with me right now. So.
Right. Well, you're doing a lot of things right. So let's dig a little deeper. For the omega supplements, what are you taking?
I'm taking one from, like, a Young Living. It's omega gyes. It's pretty high in the omega-3 fatty acid.
Okay. Do you like seafood?
I do. I don't eat a ton of it. It's kind of hard. I just need to find, like, a really good, like, a good salmon and things like that I like. And the one that's, you know, a healthy one that's good for you.
Yeah, let me make a recommendation, because here's the thing. Sometimes, no matter how good the supplements are, they're just not as effective as the real food. They may be in the wrong balance. There may be something else that's in the food that we're not getting that we need. So when I see a supplement not giving us the results we need, then I try to go back and say, well, could we get more of the nutrient we need from food? Could you handle sardines?
I could try.
Couple ways to kind of make them a little more palatable. Like, if you've ever made a tuna salad, you know, chopped celery and onion and lots of mayonnaise, good mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Do that with sardines and then add it to a big green salad.
Okay.
And that will really help if you're not wild about the taste. The reason sardines... You know, I love salmon, and I live on a river where it's the biggest salmon run in the world, and there are people down there fishing every day, and all I have to go do is buy it from them right out of the river. And yet, I still find that I don't eat it enough. There's just so many days where I'm just too busy to stop and cook it, and everybody else in the house doesn't like it, so... what I find is the sardines make it so much easier for me. They are very shelf-stable. They last for years. Once you come up with a couple recipes where you like it, maybe the one I just described, maybe some others, they're convenient because they're right there all the time. You don't have to worry about are they fresh. and they are about 3 times more nutrient dense than salmon. They are loaded with calcium, all kinds of vitamins, good omega-3s, just so many of the minerals you need. So they're like little superfoods, and they're convenient to have around. The biggest problem most people have is you just got to figure out how to get over the taste for most people.
Right. Okay. Another quick question I have for you is I've just got my blood work done here recently, and I have really high elevated AST levels.
Have you talked that over with your naturopath?
Yeah. I'm going to start doing a few things with her, just like some testing just to check like my liver functions and stuff, but I don't know. I was just kind of puzzled about some of these.
Yeah, and that could be, you know, the fatty acid and the digestion. And here's one of the things we find, and this is what the NTP program is really big on. We don't really worry too much about those weird little outlying numbers until we fix digestion and diet first. There's so many things going on in our body that we don't always understand. And when we try to chase the little things, sometimes we don't get any results. And a lot of times because we're not even sure why they're happening. But if we address digestion and we address diet, and if we have to, we supplement a little, and then we wait and see how, and sometimes there are people that have 7 or 8 of those things going on, and you address diet and digestion, and sometimes all of them will resolve, and you don't have to do anything different. Sometimes there's a couple left over, and then you've got to go figure out why, but getting digestion right, and it sounds like you're already doing that, I would add, beet kvass.
Well, I struggle with my digestion.
Go ahead.
My digestion, I struggle with that. Like, I've been for the last year, probably since I started doing, like, at the age, like, it was a low-calorie, low-fat diet. My digestive system is very, very sluggish, and this is, like, I'm still trying to figure out. I take lots of enzymes, and, you know, I eat the paleo ketogenic diet, and I'm struggling.
Okay, so let's back up then, because I'm glad you told me that. Have you heard of the GAPS diet?
Yes, I have.
I would really recommend a GAPS diet or a Whole30. Either one of those I think could be really good for you, because I think you need a lot of gut healing.
Yes, I totally do.
If we can't heal the gut, then we can't fix any of that other stuff. In fact, you can be eating a great diet and continue to go downhill. And it's because you can't get the nutrients. I'm sure you've got leaky gut. So you're getting a lot of foreign bodies into the bloodstream that's causing a lot of these reactions. I would recommend that you look at GAPS or Whole30. They're both elimination diets. And GAPS is really a gut healing diet. So you're going to drink a lot of, you know, homemade bone broth. There's a supplement from Biotics that I like called IPS that's very gut healing. It has a lot of the same nutrients that bone broth has. And you're going to eliminate all of the foods that can trigger the gut problems you're having. I will warn you, it's a very restrictive diet in the beginning. But after what you've told me, the paleo and ketogenic diets aren't going to work for you. I would do GAPS first or Whole30. And then call me back. We can talk about it more because I'm out of time today. And let's go from there. Kim, we blew through that hour again. Thanks, as
that
always.
That was fast. Thank you.
Yeah, it sure was. All right, we've got to get out of here. Sorry I didn't get to all the calls and questions. I don't think we ever do. But we'll try to get to you next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody. I know there was a lot of questions we didn't get to. I was going to do another hour, but then I realized I've got to get to a meeting for the CMC. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you this weekend for the live show.